This is the Poison Terminator podcast. My name is Carlo Diolan. The Christmas season will be here in a few days. Most of us get prepared for this season by planning holiday activities and buying gifts. One thing we shouldn't forget while preparing for Christmas is to plan for potential holiday hazards in the household. My guest today is Julie Weber. She's the director of the Missouri Poison Center. Julie is a registered pharmacist and certified as a specialist in poison information and serves as an adjunct clinical instructor in pharmacy at the St. Louis College of Pharmacy. She was elected to the board of directors for the American Association of Poison Control Centers in 2012 and president-elect in 2018. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Hi, Carlo. Thank you very much for having me today. I think this is a great topic to discuss. As you said, we're so close to the holidays.
So, Julie, let's start to talk about holiday decorations. Which ones can induce poisoning?
I think the one holiday decoration that really came to my mind immediately was how we have so many of the scented oils, like lamp oils, the plug-ins in our homes that are accessible to children. And they smell so good, like vanilla, cinnamon roll, cherry, and are the color of often something they like to drink. And these scented oils really can be a problem for young children who drink them and aren't expecting it to be as irritating or of a bad taste as they get.
Why this oil is toxic?
So this oil kind of falls into a group like what we consider a hydrocarbon. It's a real thin liquid, and when they get a taste of it, sometimes they're, like I mentioned, they're surprised by it. So they kind of gasp, or sometimes they just start choking on it. And when they choke on it, what can happen is they can aspirate it or choke it into their lungs.
What are the health effects of this oil?
The health effects that we can see from that aspiration is it can cause a chemical pneumonia. I think one of my professors in college once explained it to me so well, like that oil can get into the lungs and it can cause injury. It can almost have the lungs look like Swiss cheese. It can cause injury to them and produce a real bad chemical pneumonitis and trouble with breathing. And so that's really why we need to either have these oils up high out of the reach of children or to not, when we have really younger ones in the home, not to have them there.
Are the decorations on Christmas trees toxic?
Well, some can be. And when we kind of get into the more older type of ornaments and get nostalgic, some of those are more the problem. Like real old Christmas ornaments that we maybe pass down through the generations, we have to be cautious with because sometimes they have lead paint on them or they're a glass. And the lead paint is more the issue if children repetitively are exposed to it. Like maybe a one-time exposure, getting a taste of it off of there or chewing on it, no. But the lead in that, or even the old types of tinsel we used to put on our trees, those were like a leaded sheet. And those tinsels, with playing with it or, you know, and playing too much in that hand-to-the-mouth dust that would come off of it could cause lead poisoning.
Plants can also be used as holiday decorations. Which ones are known to be toxic for children?
Boy, there are so many plants out there for the holidays. I always like starting out first the one that people think are so bad, but it's really not, is the poinsettia. The poinsettia for children really gets a bad rap, and it takes just large amounts to be any trouble. Might be different for our pets, but for children, the poinsettia is safe. But there's a variety of plants that I've even already seen out in the stores. The first one that comes to my mind is the amaryllis. And if children are handling or ingest part of the amaryllis bulb, it can cause some stomach upset. Other plants we see, the mistletoe. There's mistletoe out there, the little white berries in larger amounts. Can be a risk for children. Jerusalem cherry is another plant. We have the Christmas rose. English ivy we see a lot used in the holidays. And even just the regular holly with the red berries.
What are the symptoms we can see in children consuming these holiday plants?
So with like the English ivy and the amaryllis bulb, like handling those can cause more like a dermal irritation or a redness or itching on the skin. But all of those other plants ingested in a larger quantity, we really see more gastrointestinal effects, like symptoms such as nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. And so it just really depends on each plant. We always say the dose makes the poison. So depending on how many berries or how many leaves are ingested, those could cause the symptoms of the nausea and vomiting.
How can we make sure that kids don't take a hold of these plants?
Well, when working on the poison hotline, I always give tips to the parents. And one of the big things when they have younger children in the home that are curious, I always say, you know, maybe for these years we might just want to switch to an artificial one and just use artificial plants to prevent it. And that's not always what we want to do. So the best thing is to keep the plants up high and out of the reach of children. That's one of the best ways to do prevention.
Which holiday toys and gifts are toxic for kids?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind are some of those magnetic toys. They have the wrinkle-strong magnets in them. And when children swallow those, there can be a problem. Other toys are those that contain those button batteries. And also sometimes there's toys that have small parts or pieces that children can swallow that can contain lead.
Why are these items dangerous?
So with the button batteries, the dangers associated with that is that it can cause a burn. So I typically think of like remote controls for toys, even the remote for our TV, some of the Christmas cards that have batteries in it, and just how a lot of the toys are operated. Those lithium flat batteries in there, when ingested or swallowed in the throat, it can lay along the tissue in the throat or stomach, and it can cause a burn. And then the magnets, what happen is sometimes children will swallow two or three at a time. And once those get into the intestine, the magnet force is so strong that it can loop over and the magnets can interlock, causing the intestines to get stuck in there, and it can perforate them or cause a hole in the intestine. And then the toys are the little trinkets, like sometimes necklaces, little objects and toys that have lead in them. If children swallow that and keep that leaded toy in them for about 5 to 7 days, there is a risk for that lead to kind of come off of that object and get into the bloodstream.
Can parents call the poison center when their children ingest a button battery?
Absolutely. So our poison center number is for nationwide anywhere, 1-800-222-1222. And what's amazing is immediately you'll be speaking with a registered pharmacist or a nurse who is specially trained in poisoning. So they're the experts. And in seconds, you'll have your answer of what you need to do, if anything. I mean, our goal is really to try to keep people at home and safely watch them. Unfortunately, a lot of times with those larger button batteries or magnets, we would refer you into the hospital, but we would walk them through that process and help also the clinicians at the hospital with the best treatment.
And even if it's not a severe case, parents can still call the poison center, right?
Yes, any time of day. We're open 24 hours a day, year round. So we never take a break from being on the hotline. And we always say no question is too small. Even if you're just wondering, it's always best to call that 800-222-1222 number, because you'll immediately have your answer much faster than if you would get online and try to find your answer. And you know it's a good, reliable source talking to a healthcare professional.
People tend to drink alcoholic beverages during the holidays, and some individuals might be taking medications. What are some of the most common medications that people shouldn't mix with alcohol?
The number one medication that comes to mind are more like sleeping medications. Some of them are sedatives in themselves, and so mixing that with alcohol can add that effect. Antidepressants or medications we're using for depression, definitely another type of drug that we don't want to have with alcohol. And then we're kind of in the winter months and we start seeing more use of antibiotics. And some antibiotics really can be trouble if taken with alcohol.
What are the most common symptoms that people feel when mixing alcohol and medications?
So with the antibiotics, what can happen is it can have a reaction and it can cause severe stomach upset with vomiting, flushing, diarrhea. They could feel like they pass out. So that's why you have to be very cautious with mixing alcohol with an antibiotic. Now, with the other classes of medicine like sleeping medication, medications used for depression, what happens is it increases the side effects of those drugs. So you can get a quicker onset of like judgment impairment, drowsiness, and if drinking too much alcohol with those medicines can also slow down or stop the breathing. So that's what worries me as well, is a person could stop breathing and even go into a coma.
Are hard liquors more dangerous for children than sweet-tasting alcoholic beverages?
I think here that's kind of hard, because if I think of a hard liquor and straight like a whiskey or something, it's kind of a little bit more bitter and harsh of a taste. So it's really just the amounts of the alcohol in the drinks. I kind of lean to say sweet tasting drinks kind of entice children more because they're like juice or something good to drink, and it kind of masks the taste of the alcohol. So both are equally toxic or can cause a problem, but I think children are more often attracted to drinking the sweet-tasting drinks that are often left set out after parties. And so I know a lot of times kids go to bed and parents have guests there late at night, and I always recommend really get those drinks poured out and cleaned up and don't let the kids get up before you in the morning and get into those.
We've talked about poisoning by alcoholic drinks, but we also need to take particular care with the turkey that will accompany a glass of wine or beer. How do we make sure that the turkey we cook doesn't cause any food poisoning?
Some of the biggest work that we need to do is be cautious in our preparation of it. Kind of sometimes starts out, if you don't have a fresh turkey, of just how you're defrosting it or thawing it out. You want to make sure you either give yourself enough time and let it thaw out in the refrigerator, or you put it in a sink with cold water and gradually keep that cold and thaw it out that way. Sometimes, too, it may work as well as to have to thaw it out in the microwave. Another really good thing to remember with preparation of the turkey is to constantly be washing your hands, any surfaces that it touches, or any cutting boards or utensils that you use. That would also help prevent any type of spread of any bacteria. And then keep warm foods separated from cold foods. Keep things cold that need to be cold, and that too also helps.
What precautions do we need to take to make sure that leftovers aren't spoiled?
So one of the first things is, I know how we want to always sit at the table, we're full of food and we want to keep talking and hang out and enjoy the company of our family and friends. It is really a good idea to promptly refrigerate any food within 2 hours of the meal. That will, number one, help with preventing any kind of bacteria or food poisoning from the leftovers. Also, if you do have a lot of leftovers and they're in your refrigerator, you want to get them in the freezer within about 3 to 4 days. That will help. And then also to always really get food in containers with a closed lid or wrapped tightly, and that'll kind of prevent any type of cross-contamination from food item to food item when it's sitting in your refrigerator.
Is there anything that you would like to add that we didn't cover?
Well, I spoke about our friends and family being there, and I really want to add into that, we have to remember the grandparents and hosting for different guests in our home. Immediately, I think from the time a guest enters our house, they may have a purse, and women's purses have so many items that can lead to a poisoning. I always try to save a closet and get all the purses high on a shelf in a closed or even locked closet. So the children can't get into that purse and get into medication or any type of other product that the woman has in her purse. And then often grandparents will be staying with us. and grandparents are usually on medication, or they're set in their ways of how they brought us up as children. And we have to remind them things have changed and we really need to be cautious. So one, grandparents are often on medications, and we really want to stress the use of like child-resistant closures on the medication and any type of overnight bags or things that we don't keep in the reach of our children to get up high and out of sight and possibly lock it. And then lastly, if they are taking their medication, not to set it out on the nightstand or on the table where little hands can grab it, but to really try to take those medications where children can't watch so they don't learn that activity that it's okay.
Can you tell us about an interesting case related to the holidays handled by your center?
Oh my gosh, we were all talking about this when we get together. Sometimes we think about our cases. One, I immediately go to, sometimes they have good outcomes, sometimes not. One was with on the topic of food poisoning, and that where someone had that wire piece of metal that they cooked inside the turkey, not knowing where it holds the legs together, that they had to get that out and realized it after the whole meal was ready to go onto the table once it was getting carved. And fortunately, that metal was not a problem being baked into there, and that turkey was fine to serve. But we did have a host that was really panicked and not knowing what she was going to serve her guest. But on the other hand, we had a case that we were talking about where someone had accidentally mistaken and cooked mothballs that had naphthalene in them into their pumpkin pie. And unfortunately, that was something that did have to go into the trash. Wasn't safe for pets, animals, humans, no one. That one had to be discarded. So usually the day can be saved if we get the questions, but there's always just some very interesting cooking incidents that do happen with all the people in the house and the gatherings going on.
What motivates you to come to work every day in the Missouri Poison Center?
Well, first of all, I think about that, and I think about all of our callers into the center. And immediately, I think the relief I hear in parents' voice when we speak to them, it's amazing. I still get on the hotline with my team, and just hearing that gratitude and knowing you changed their day is amazing. I think about, too, the difference that we really can make in somebody's life. Often our callers maybe don't have the resources to get to the hospital or even to stay, you know, there's nothing close to them. And by talking with us on the hotline, that really helps them realize there's somebody there with them. We're following up and we can make things happen all at home without an unnecessary trip to the hospital. And then the other part is just the great group of professionals that I work with. We have just an exceptional team. I have 26 nurses and pharmacists that work here with me. And it's just that motivation itself of everybody working together is amazing.
Thank you so much for being here with us today, Julie. We appreciate it.
Why, thank you. And I do like to say we do have some great holiday tips on our website. It's the www.missouripoisoncenter.com. And we have tips for preventing food poisoning and the Christmas holidays coming up and a great explanation of a lot of the plants on the website. So anybody can access that and get help during the holidays.
That was Julie Weber. She's the director of the Missouri Poison Center and serves as the adjunct clinical instructor in pharmacy at the St. Louis College of Pharmacy. That's all for today. I'm the Poison Terminator. I will be back next week with another episode. Thank you for listening and have a great day.